welcome to This Is Your Book Club podcast. I'm Sarah.
And I'm Jamie.
Welcome back.
Hi. Your voice is back.
Like, it is. I mean, there's a little bit if you really listen, but it's going away.
It's much better.
Yeah, it's healing.
Nice.
Thank heavens. I like being able to use my voice. Congratulations.
You can talk now.
I guess I never really stopped, but I'm glad that you can now hear me like a normal person.
Yes. So good.
Yay.
Woohoo.
Today we have what's on your shelf.
Yay, I have 3 books.
Me too.
I've been so behind. Like, my goal for the year is
I will only talk about 3.
You have more. Of course. I am barely 3, and then hopefully I can just keep and get caught up.
You will see. And summer is going to be divine.
Right. I've got what, 7 more weeks, 6.5 more weeks till summer.
It is coming like a freight train.
Woohoo!
Hope you're ready.
Bring it on.
I'm ready.
I'm ready too.
And I sat out in the sunshine last week, mm-hmm. and it was divine.
Oh, I'm really quite jealous.
It felt so wonderful to have the sunshine on me.
Yeah.
I cannot even describe it.
It's life. It is instant happiness.
I could breathe. I felt like I could deep breathe.
When it's warm air and sunshine on your skin. I agree.
Got a little bit red. I know I should avoid that, but I didn't hate it.
Right.
It felt really good.
You feel alive.
I did.
I'm so happy.
But I did. And while feeling the sunshine, I read. I listened.
Yes. Spring break last week. That's why I was able to get you 3 books this week, because mm-hmm. I listened to books while I did puzzles. I listened to books while I cleaned out
the nice
things.
Relaxing things.
Yes. It was
so good.
Really, really nice.
So good.
So back at it.
Yes.
6.5 more weeks.
Buckle
down.
We can
do that again.
It'll be great.
I can't wait.
It'll be here before we know it.
Yes.
Jamie, do you have a fun fact for us today?
Yes, I sure do. So our book for April, which is next week, is book club.
Get reading if you haven't started.
Yes. Is Expiration Dates by Rebecca Searle. And this interview that I read is from the Los Angeles Public Library. Did an interview with her, and the question that I liked that they asked her is, what was your inspiration for expiration dates? And she said, 15 years of dating.
Ah, perfect.
And then she said, just like you. But to be serious, she said, I always knew I wanted to write about the search for love. I have so much to say about what it means to fall in love and how to know how it's all supposed to end. This book is really my battle cry for all women, especially maybe women in their 30s who feel like time is running out. And that's in quotations. This book is the embodiment of my favorite saying, mantra, and life advice. Trust the timing of your life.
I love that.
Right.
I love that. Trust the timing of your life.
You just never know when you meet the person that's going to be right.
You don't know.
Yeah. The right fit for you is out there.
That is so true.
If you haven't found them yet,
and it's always, it can be a surprise.
The timing is right.
Yeah, it'll be a surprise.
Fantastic. So that's my fun fact for the week. And next week we will talk all things expiration dates.
I can't wait. I'm actually really looking forward to it.
Me too. Especially with that. Like,
yeah.
I love a good meet cute.
Absolutely.
Let's hear it.
Absolutely.
So, all right. Let's take a break and then talk books.
Here we are. Ready?
And books.
I cannot wait. Jamie, what is on your shelf?
Well, on my shelf is some books.
Good.
Imagine that.
I love that.
I just wanted to mention before I start talking about my books is that I did read The Women.
Please tell us what you thought.
By Kristen Hannah. 5 stars.
So good.
Oh, so good.
Like, I don't have one critique.
And, you know, I've heard about the Vietnam War.
Yeah.
I've heard about the issues with when our soldiers came back from the Vietnam War.
Sure.
And all the things going on. I had heard.
Mm-hmm.
Reading about personal accounts, even fictional personal accounts based off of research.
Yes.
Brings it so much more to light.
Absolutely.
I just can't even imagine what these soldiers went through. Soldiers, nurses, doctors.
No.
All of our personnel that goes to war is a lot. They deserve our appreciation whether we agree with the war or not. Okay, so that's my 2 cents about The Women.
That's amazing.
here's
I'm glad you liked it.
The first book I read.
Okay.
That I want to talk about today is Build the Life You Want, The Art of Science and Getting Happier by Arthur C. Brooks and Oprah Winfrey.
Ooh.
So the only reason that I read this, A, it's a new book, just came out, was because the other book I read, Oprah Winfrey, great.
Sure.
I'm not a huge fan. I don't dislike her.
Okay.
But yes, it's not like if I see her name on something, I'm like, ooh, have to read that.
Not me either.
I don't follow her book club. I don't, mm-hmm. like, she's a great person. I have a lot of respect for her. But that's it.
We don't align in a lot of things.
Exactly.
Not that I'm not cheering her on for all of her good works.
Absolutely.
Got it.
Absolutely. But I read What Happened to You.
Yes.
That she did with
was like an
Bruce
interview.
D. Perry.
Yes.
And fantastic.
I really like that one too.
So much respect for the work put into that book. And I feel like it's one of those that is so helpful to all humans.
I agree.
So I saw that this one just came out and I'm like, yep, I'm in on it. Because of the last one.
Yeah.
I did not walk away with the same feelings from this one.
Okay.
Oprah writes very little in this one. Okay. Where last time she kind of chimed in on each chapter.
Yes.
This one she only chimes in a couple times.
Okay.
Which is great.
It's fine.
The information is good. But I just didn't feel as motivated or like mind blown with information like I did with What Happened to You. So this one, Build the Life You Want, it talks about how do we get happier? What are the things we do in life that help us to be happy, even in the lowest of circumstances? So in the book, he references the book Man's Search for Meaning by Viktor E. Frankl, when he talks about, he's a psychiatrist and he was a prisoner in a concentration camp. Yes. During World War II. And he yes. talks about how people view their situations and if how some of them will view it and stay happy and some will view it and it's misery and what's better for us in the long run. So that's kind of where this book goes. He talks a lot about that. Like we have a choice to choose to be happy or not to choose to be happy and that all hard things are going to come to an end. And so what we do with our mind and how we make our mind find happy things and happiness can help us through the trying times and the difficult times. It was good. It was a good book. I was not blown away like the last one that Oprah Winfrey co-authored. And so I recommend it if you're looking for something in your life in this topic of how to find happiness, how okay. to choose happiness, not find it, choose it, because we can be in any situations, but how do we make the best of those situations? If you're looking for something like that, it was good. But I only gave it 2 stars.
You didn't love it.
I didn't love it. I found myself like, is this over yet? Is this over yet?
That's okay. Sometimes that happens.
Just as it was.
Instead, read Man's Search for Happiness.
Yes. Man's Search for Meaning.
For Meaning.
Go to Man's Search for Meaning. It's a quicker read.
Mm-hmm.
And that one was more impactful to me than this one.
I won't ever forget that book.
Me neither.
Which says something.
Yeah.
So interesting.
If you're interested in that topic.
Okay. Very good.
Go to Man's Search for Meaning.
All right. The first book that I'm going to talk about is The Light Through the Leaves by Glendy Vanderaw.
Hmm.
I really like Glendy Vanderaw. She also wrote Where the Forest Meets the Stars, if you've read that one. But she's an author that is not at our library. So I've always been able to get her books, like her audiobooks, for like $1.99. So those are like those discount audiobooks. Yeah. So if you... There are certain authors that I think are Amazon authors
mm-hmm.
that aren't always going to be at your local library, but you can find them for very discounted prices through Amazon or Audible.
Okay.
So like this was free to read and $1.99 to add Audible.
Oh, sweet.
So I just did both, right? Yeah. I'm like, I will buy it and add
both.
Yeah, and I will add Audible. So
sweet.
That's what I got. That's how I got this one. this is the story of Ellis. You meet Ellis in her worst moment. She just saw her husband. She went to surprise him with a picnic lunch with her two boys and baby daughter. She has twin sons and a baby daughter, and she went to surprise him with a picnic lunch. Instead, finds him getting into a car with another woman and kissing her. This throws her for a loop. She takes the kids to lunch herself, and they end up at a forest. She loves the outdoors. She's always been very outdoorsy and found a lot of solace in the outdoors, and allows the boys to catch tadpoles while she is devastated.
Falling apart.
Yeah, and tries to decide what she's going to do. She gathers up lunch, and the chaos of getting back into the car, one thing leads to another. She leaves, drives home. They get a mile away, a minute or two away, and realizes she left the baby.
Oh my gosh.
In the chaos of getting into the car. And she turns around and goes back, and baby is gone.
Parents' worst nightmare. Worst nightmare.
Ah!
I'm stressed.
Ellis cannot recover from this. And she just slowly starts to fall apart. Baby is not found. Time is passing, and she can't forgive herself. And she can see that she is really impacting her family. And so she decides, I won't give all the details, but she does leave her family and decides she's hurting her family, and she leaves to go and heal. And her solution
for
healing.
Hard to know what you would do in that situation.
True.
Right?
I will say I did not love her solution.
Yeah.
That was
my feelings.
I can't
imagine making that decision, but I've also never been in the position.
True.
To have lost my baby.
True.
So to each their own.
So she decides that because she does feel such peace in the forest, and she thinks she's bad for everyone that she comes into contact with, she just becomes a vagrant living in campsites. She just kind of lives out of her car in campsites.
She's really gone downhill.
Yes.
Okay.
And she has experiences as she travels around and lives in this way. You watch her spiral, really, and it's heartbreaking, truly, to watch. It was hard to read, to listen to. Then you get to jump to, you meet Raven at 7 years old. It's very, you very quickly realize that this is baby grown to 7 years old.
Okay. So this is the missing baby.
And you watch her life. She's not able to, lives in a very remote area. She doesn't talk to the neighbors. She's raised by her mother. And you watch her life as it grows.
Yeah.
Raven eventually comes in contact with other children and what that leads to. So you watch her path as she grows up living in this remote area, very overly protected by her mother. And you continue to watch Ellis deteriorate and not be able to recover.
Right.
She's doing very bad. It's a really tricky book.
It sounds like...
I kept waiting for things to get better.
Hard. Yeah, it's
and
hard.
It's a hard book. Like, this is a really, really hard book. I don't want to give away any spoilers. I think you have to you have to go through the steps with these characters. It's really well done, even though I didn't love the characters' choices.
Right. And that's a good, a well-written book.
Yes. I felt all the emotions, and it felt very real to me. Like, I was 100% like, yep, these people, they could be real people. Which I love in a book.
Right.
It's a roller coaster. I will say, like, it's a heavy book. Obviously, stolen baby.
Trauma.
For everyone
involved.
Yes. I will say, like, I just kept thinking, like, this can't get any worse. This can't get any worse. This can't get any worse. This is horrible. This is horrible. You're making awful decisions. Everyone's making such poor decisions. And it gets more and more complicated as you get into the book. And with all of that being said, I really, really enjoyed the way it ended.
Okay.
And I gave it 4 stars. So be ready for, like, a tough, complicated book. If you're up for that, you will love it.
Okay.
But be ready for it. I feel like I have to give you like a disclaimer.
Right. Well, because there are certain times I can handle that and certain times I can't. So sure. I appreciate the disclaimer.
Right. And if you're like, you've been like, there are times where I've read a lot of very light, surface level books and I get sick of that. Like, I need something more. And this is the something more. Mm-hmm. So when you're up for that type of a book, I would highly, highly recommend this book. It's called The Light Through the Leaves. I gave it 4 stars. And no, be ready for it. Like, yeah. Okay, I'm gonna feel a book.
Right.
And you will feel it.
And this one is one.
And then you will end feeling good.
Okay.
So you're gonna feel a lot of like hard feelings and you'll know you'll end feeling good.
Okay.
So I'm not gonna leave you with a book that makes you feel bad.
Okay, I'll take that and consider it.
Yes, there's a time and a place.
Okay, the next book I'm going to talk about is Helter Skelter, The True Story of the Manson Murders, written by Vincent Bugliosi and Kurt Gentry.
Okay.
Okay, do you know much about the Manson Murders or...
No.
Charles Manson. I have to stop myself every time and not say... Marilyn Manson.
Right.
Totally different people.
Okay, good. Okay. Thank you for that.
So this is Charles Manson. And in the Vincent Bugliosi was the prosecutor who tried the people in this trial.
Okay.
And so the trial took place in 1970. This book came out in 1974. And it's like a classic when you talk about serial killers or Charles Manson. See, I even want to keep going to Marilyn Manson.
I know.
To Charles Manson. If you're into true crime, this is a classic book in true crime. It's short. It's not very long.
Okay.
And it starts with the night of one of the biggest murders
that took place. Okay, I just have to really quickly. Okay. You said it's short. It's not very long. But it's 689 pages. So maybe the way it's written, is it like a transcript?
No.
This?
Yeah. It says it's 698 pages. 89 pages. Okay. I listened to it and the audio version.
Yes.
Is only, let me tell you how long it is. Does it say on here? I've returned it already, so I don't know. Let me look it up, because I do want to verify that. I didn't think this was a shortened...
Well, I wouldn't have said anything except for when you said this is a short book.
Maybe I just had the speed up, so it went super fast. It is...
But you felt like you started start to finish. No,
okay. I'm going to borrow it again, just so I can see. Because it's available.
Okay.
At my library. So I'm borrowing it again. I'm opening the audiobook and I'm going to tell you that there is no way I would have listened.
It should say right there.
Oh, 5 hours and 5 hours and 38 minutes.
Okay.
So this, it doesn't say on it.
Does it say in your book, just like information? What did it, like who read it?
It is read by Robert Foxworth.
Okay.
So I don't know if this... It doesn't say on it that it's a condensed or version. But it was less than 6 hours. So maybe...
That's amazing. That's the version you want.
That's the version you want because it was the perfect amount. This one that says 26 hours is read by...
It makes me wonder if there's a lot of like, you know, when you are writing an informational book, you have to put all of your sites.
Resources.
Yeah. All your sightings.
Yeah. Your sources. The one that's 26 hours is Scott Brick. I couldn't tell you the difference here.
Okay.
Mine was 6 hours And I didn't feel like it left anything out. I didn't feel like it jumped. It awesome. Started from, so back to the book, it started from the night of one of the murders, which was five people. Whoa. So at one house, and it is the Tate murders is what this incident is referred to. And there were these people in the home, and there was a brutal killing, and they don't know who, why, what, or what happened. So they start this investigation okay. on these murders in the Tate home. Now they start these investigations knowing that, like, this is LA. These are famous people related to famous people. They're all really, like, high there profile. Are names in here that you will know. So yes, high profile. And so they start the investigation. And it leads them to this group of people that is ran by Charles Manson.
Oh.
Charles Manson is the cult leader. He, as far as they know, actually never killed anyone. But he fed his followers to believe in everything he said. And they loved and adored him. They cherished him.
Okay.
And so his belief was that the black community was going to take over the white community.
Oh.
So he needed to start what was referred to as Helter Skelter, which he was going to combat that before it started. So they were killing people and blaming it on black people.
Oh, gosh. They were
killing white people to blame on black people to keep black people from taking over, and this whole war that was going to start between blacks and whites in America. He was inspired by or fueled by the Beatles. He loved the Beatles, especially the White Album. And he has a lot of things that he connects, like sayings in songs that he connects to modern time. And it's almost like it's telling him what to do. Okay, let me tell you that I know I love the White Album. I love the Beatles.
Okay.
And the song Blackbird was written after a whole big, what was it? Was it Rosa Parks?
Okay.
There was some big incident that happened. Martin Luther King was doing his freedom marches and all that. There was one specific event that went worldwide, and it just hit Paul McCartney really hard. And he wrote Blackbird in support of all black people and equal rights.
Yeah.
But Charles Manson took Blackbird as the exact opposite. So it's really interesting and crazy to read the thoughts that he had. He was, his last name Manson.
Mm-hmm.
He was man's son. He thought he was Jesus Christ.
Oh, stop it.
His leaders believed him as Jesus Christ.
But you're man's son, not God's son.
Well, God's son. Yeah, man's son. And I'm just it was saying. Something like his middle name is Willis or Williams, but he went by Will. So it was like Charles Will Manson. So it was the Will of the man's son. That's yeah. what it came down.
Let
so
me tell you what that means to me.
Charles was the will of man's son. I don't know. He was crazy. His obviously. Followers did things at his call. So he made all the calls. They were tried for the Tate murders because it's the only one they could actually get all the evidence to stick to them. And it was sketchy the whole time.
Oh, gosh.
Because three women that were involved in these murders were so connected to him and true to him
mm-hmm.
that they and believed he was Jesus Christ, that they were like, we will take the rap for this. We're going to say you had no part of it. You didn't tell us where to go. You didn't tell us anything. We are taking it. And so the whole trial, and in the trial, Charles is so disrespectful. Like, he turns around and looks backwards and refuses to talk to anybody. He throws paper clips at the judges. He, like, total disruption. Like, he has no sense of
respect.
Respect or the trouble he's in because he really believes he's Jesus Christ and that he was supposed to do these. But would Jesus
Christ throw things at people or...
Right.
Like, he never acted that way.
Right.
So, give me a break.
Right. So, these three women...
There's a lot of problems I have with this.
Also, and Charles Manson, scratched or cut across into their foreheads. And then, as it scabbed over, would pick the scabs so that it would make a better scar. And they showed up in court with these on.
Ew.
Like, this was their dedication to each other. Ew. This was their symbol, and they were going to stay together. So even reading through, like, after the investigation part of the book and then hearing the trial, it's just crazy.
Let's say that when we die, this is me.
Okay, let's hear it.
When we die, there's nothing. Just what we live and how we do here. Let's just say that.
Yeah, there's no afterlife.
I have no idea. Let's say we don't even know what happens. Would you really want to have the only thing to show for your life here be that kind of behavior? Not just in court, but like you killed people and you did all that. Like, really? Like, did you have a good time? Really?
Right.
Like, do you really feel good about your this time, this experience you got to have here? It feels ridiculous to me. Well, I will never understand.
He was a great leader. He felt like it.
Why?
But that is like...
But what good did you bring to the world?
Right. And it talks about his childhood and growing up and, you know, trying to give reason for why he's so psychotic. And yes, he had a hard childhood. Absolutely.
Lots of people do.
But a lot of people have hard childhoods. I mean, we go back to Man's Search for Meaning. Mm-hmm. You're telling me that wasn't hard?
And he didn't go around, and like, slaughtering people?
He became a psychiatrist and wrote a book and helped other people. So it's just interesting when you try to look into what caused or created this. And there's just not a correlation, like...
No, he's just a loony.
You've got things, but yeah, he was a loony.
That's so sad. It was wild.
So there's a lot of other murders that they think were caused by him and his following that they just couldn't
connect
to it. So they were not
beyond
tried.
A reasonable
They're
doubt.
Thinking it was about 38 different people,
oh,
right?
From so sad.
With like similar MOs of the time.
It's completely unnecessary.
Anyway. If you're interested in true crime, you're interested in things like this, which I know this is not for everyone.
Sure.
Definitely an interest for me. I gave it 4 stars. Super interesting. The life of Charles Manson, the murders, the trial, all of it. I really liked it. And go for the 6-hour version because I don't know what the other version is, but 6 hours was good.
There you go.
So.
There you go. Very good. Okay. The next one I'm going to talk about today is The Keeper of Stories by Sally Page.
I was just looking at this book today.
Were you?
Yep. It popped up on a list or something, and I was looking at it and reading about it.
Okay.
So I want to hear what you have to say.
This is not a new book. It came out in February of 2022.
Okay.
So that is so interesting that it just
I think it was the book bub. It was on yes. something. Is that where you got it?
Probably.
I think it was on one of their lists.
I read this on Audible.
Yeah. Okay.
So that would make sense. This is the story of a woman who is a house cleaner.
Mm-hmm.
And she collects people's stories. So she's, you know, in her job, it takes her to lots of different people's homes. And she loves to get people talking. And she will remember your story. And she keeps your story and she collects them. She doesn't tell people that she collects them. It's like, not something she
is
vocalizes.
Is she writing them down or she's just collecting them in her head?
She just collects them in her head.
Okay.
But she can recall people's stories. Now, the interesting thing about her story collection is she has decided everyone has like one story.
Oh, like a main theme
yes.
of their life. A main
this
story.
Is, yeah, this is your story. And it always seems to come out when she prods. And she's like, that is her story. So she'll be like, oh, yes. You know, Jamie, whose story is da 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 da.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. That's how she connects people. Her life is a little lackluster. She's married, but her husband is a starter, not a finisher. I don't know how else to describe him. He loves to get started in jobs, but it never lasts long, and he always ends up needing to find a new job. And so she's supporting them
mm-hmm.
being a house cleaner. Does she want to be a house cleaner? Not necessarily. She doesn't think there's anything wrong with being a house cleaner, but does she think that's what she's always, you know, feels fulfilled doing? No,
right.
She doesn't. And she feels like a little bit embarrassed about it, mostly because her husband isn't very kind about her job.
Mm-hmm.
So she doesn't have a lot of confidence. They have one son who is kind of estranged. They don't keep in contact. You get to follow her as she goes from job to job. And somehow these people end up being connected as she is just trying to make her way through her sludge of a daily life.
Right.
I get, like, I would put this in the family of, like, A Man Called Ove, where he's just like, what's my purpose here?
Yeah.
But his interactions with the other people are what give it so much heart. And that's the same with this story. Like, she's interacting with these people and she starts to find herself through her interactions with the people around her. Yeah. Now, they're not all wonderful. You know, one of the homes she cleans, the people are awful, right? But another one she finds like a dear friend.
Right.
So there are lots of different experiences with the people that she interacts with.
That she's collecting.
Lots of different stories. And one thing that's pointed out to her is, well, I can see what you're doing here.
Mm-hmm.
But what's your story? Ooh. And she has to turn it back on herself. And the story she's been telling herself about herself is kind of sad.
Hmm.
And do we only have one story?
Right.
Or are there more stories and we're only sharing the people that we share a story with maybe only gets one of our stories.
Right. And maybe that one story was the most impactful in our life.
Sure.
Even though there were all these other stories that were maybe better or more positive.
Absolutely.
But one hits hard and that's what we stick with.
And maybe for whatever reason, that person we're talking to draws out one certain story.
Right.
And it's that person that needs to hear that story. While someone else like might hear another of your stories that's impactful
for them.
Because
that's what
they
needed to hear. Yeah.
It's so fun.
It sounds really interesting.
It is. It's a really easy read in the sense that, like, it felt light.
Mm-hmm.
But all the characters are very bright and vivid and there's lots of depth to them and you're rooting for her and whatever her choices end up being.
Mm-hmm.
You will see.
Right.
But it was super satisfying. I really, really enjoyed it. I gave it 4 stars. It's called The Keeper of Stories.
Fantastic. All right. My last one for today. You can imagine after I read The Women, which was a hard read.
Heavy.
Heavy, I should say. Fantastic, but heavy. And then I read Helter Skelter.
Whew.
Was a lot. I needed a palate cleanser.
Sure.
I needed something easy. I needed it right away, so I went with a book that was available and not a hard topic. Just an easy, good, meet cute, rom-com. You know the book I'm talking about.
I do.
So I found The Cheat Sheet by Sarah Adams, and it came out in 2021, and it was just what I needed.
Awesome.
It is such a cute story, and what I liked about it is a rom-com. So what we have is we have a boy and a girl who meet in high school. She's a ballerina. He's a football player.
Ooh.
And they become best friends. They are best friends. They are not boyfriend, girlfriend. They are best friends. They both enjoy running. So they go on runs together all the time and they're just good friends. She dates people. He dates people. They always come back to their friendship and hanging out. He goes off to college and plays football in college, and her ballet career is taking off and she's going off someplace else, and they kind of lose track for those college years. And then things happen and they end up back in the same town. Now, he is an NFL football player at this point, so he is a professional heartthrob football player.
Mm-hmm.
And she is dancing still, but not at the professional level. And I won't, you know, I'll just leave it at that. But they're in the same town and their friendship starts right where it left off. They are best friends. So he's dating people and she dates people. They're both always dating someone when the other one isn't. So there's never been, or they've never breached on the idea of that they're not just best friends.
Sure.
But they have both had a crush on each other the whole entire time, unbeknownst to each other. Right?
Of course.
Right. So all these things are happening in publicity with his being an NFL player. His publicist, publicity's manager, whatever they call, what do they call it? When you have a manager, like a...
His agent.
His agent, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
His agent puts together that they are just for the public eye for 3 weeks until this certain thing comes out that they are boyfriend and girlfriend, and they need to make like his, for his ratings, for his, again, what are they called when you have deals with companies that pay you to advertise for them? Like
promotions and stuff.
Yeah.
There's sponsorships. Sponsors.
Yeah. For sponsorships, for whatever is coming up, that they need to bring awareness to this and all this attention that he is with her, that this is, so they're pretending to be boyfriend and girlfriend for 3 weeks. Well, I will just let you think about where that goes, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it's really, really cute. It's really simple. And also, it's clean.
Oh, I love that.
So this is one that, yes, there's romance. Yes, there's desire for each other.
Mm-hmm.
But it doesn't go into any explicit
like, I could details. Let my teenager read this absolutely. And not worry.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Awesome. It is clean. So I, and you know, oftentimes when I pick a nice palate cleanser, it's a bit racy. So it was just an easy, enjoyable one. Some fun romance, but without the romance, if you know what I mean.
The raunch.
Yes. I really enjoyed it. I gave it 3 stars and I highly recommend it when you need a palate cleanser because it's just fun.
I love that so much.
And I listened to it really fast because you don't have to put a lot of thought or keep track of characters. It's just anything from page one.
For you.
It was just there for me. Yeah.
I love that.
It was great.
Awesome. I've got that one down. Very good. All right. The last one I'm going to talk about is Just for the Summer by Abby Jimenez. I'm sure it's Jimenez. I'm sure she's,
yeah.
I'm sorry. I butchered it. This just came out April 2nd of this year.
Did you already talk about this one?
Nope.
What's the first book you talked about?
The Light Through the Leaves.
No, you talked. Did you tell me about this one?
I told you about this book.
I'm like, wait, no, you already talked about it.
I talked to you about it.
Okay. My brain is fried. Continue.
Okay, so this is a fun story. This is a book that I read sitting by the pool, which was the perfect place to read this kind of a book.
Yeah.
Sounds
dreamy, by the
way. I just really enjoyed that experience.
Yeah, the whole experience.
Just prefacing
of the book.
It. Okay. This is the story of Justin, who has a curse. His curse is that everyone he dates marries the next person they date. So they break up and then they marry someone else.
Yes.
His latest ex-girlfriend breaks up with him and marries his best friend / roommate.
Oh no.
And they end up, you know, leaving him in a bit of a bind, and he plays a joke on his friend, names his dog after his friend, who is an ugly dog, right? For sticking him in such hot spot. And his friend tells him he's a bad friend, needs to change the dog's name. And so they take it to Reddit and say, who's the jerk? Am I the jerk?
Ooh, I like this.
Who's the jerk? Am I the jerk? And he tells his story about how he's got this curse and his friend did this to him. So who's the jerk? Me or him? And this goes viral. This Reddit thread goes viral. This. And a girl across the country reads it, and she's reading it out loud to her best friend and says, oh my gosh, he's the same as me. And they have a good laugh about it.
The same as her as?
Because she dates people and they marry the next person after her.
Okay.
It becomes this thing. They've never heard of it before, but now they've both got it. So her friend convinces her to reach out to him and say, and date him. Like, ask him, we should date each other. Is this for real? Are you lying? Because maybe if we dated each other, we would break our curse.
We would,
and we would break up and marry the next people we date.
The next people we both meet. I love it.
I know. So they start chatting online, like super fun, tongue in cheek, like teasing each other, having fun. They don't even live by each other.
I mean, they start out on such a fun way to meet up that I can imagine, like, there's no nervousness. I'm not looking for a boyfriend, girlfriend. I'm just like, can you believe we're both in this situation?
Totally.
Love it.
And they just start bantering on the phone, chatting, texting, talking, all the things. And with no real, I mean, they don't, like I said, they do not even live in the same state.
Right.
But they kind of joke about this idea that if we would date each other, we maybe could break our curse. Yeah. And so there's this underlying theme. Well, they decide to give it a try. And I don't want to spoil anything. We watch them have this fun dating, teasing experience, joke of a relationship. Mm-hmm. And it's all that you would imagine it is. You know, will it work? Will it not work? There's a lot more to their individual stories than just this fun aspect of dating, and breaking this dating curse. Ha ha, right. Tongue in cheek. And that's where I found it got really fun and really good. It just has a whole lot of heart. It has this lighthearted tone to it because they're trying to break this dating curse. Yeah. But underneath that is a lot of depth, which was really endearing. I super enjoyed this book. It felt very realistic. Like at the heart of dating is people. Mm-hmm. And people come with baggage. And we take that baggage into our relationships, and maybe there's more to these curses than just bad luck, right? Maybe we're bringing things into relationships that we're not considering. We
don't even realize what we're bringing in.
Right.
And what it,
and
what happens with it.
Right. And what are we willing to do to make something work? Anyway, I really, really enjoyed this book. I thought it was great. I gave it 4 stars, and it's new out there, so it's on a lot of lists. Mm-hmm. And I can see why. It has right now a 4.55 rating on Goodreads with like 21,000 reviews. Nice. It's super good. It's called Just for Summer, and I highly recommend it.
Fantastic.
Yeah,
fun books.
Yeah, absolutely. Can't little wait of everything to hear today for you. If you guys have read these or if you what you're adding to your list, let us know. We'd love to hear. You can find us on Instagram or Facebook.
You can email us at thisisyourbookclubpodcast@gmail.com.
Please rate and subscribe. Let your friends know about our podcast.
Thank you to Amphibious Zoo for our music.
And we'll see you next time. I'm Sarah.
And I'm Jamie.
And this is your book club.